2 days ago we began the sugya, and we saw at the time that one of the first of the mysteries is where does it belong? Gemara Brachas Av Chafalv says that presents the Gemara Brachas Av Chafalv from an Aleph presents Birkas HaTorah as parallel to which other bracha? Birkas HaMazon. Exactly. Birkas HaMazon, right? Bechalta b'savata b'rechta kishem shem ekra v'gol l'alkenu. What's the difference between the two of them that the Gemara highlights?
Once before and without.
Right. Before versus after. Right? That's the Amr of Yehuda Marav, different girsos. It said Birkas HaMazon l'achareha, Birkas HaTorah l'faneha, both min HaTorah, both based on their respective psukim. Then if you went weiter, the Hemshah HaGemara to the two dots. Please. If you went weiter, the Hemshah HaGemara and Chafal from Alf to the two dots, so you saw, thank you very much. So the Gemara handles back and forth, maybe we can make a Kal V'chomer from one to the other. Maybe they Kal V'chomer, if food requires a bracha after certainly Torah, and maybe you should make a Kal V'chomer in the reverse direction, if Torah requires a bracha beforehand, and they actually say Kal V'chomer, the food requires a bracha beforehand. And that Gemara is captured and quoted by the Ramban in his Asagas in the Sefer HaMitzvos. Let's take a look, let's begin by looking at that inside. And this will be our jumping off point. Ramban writes, Nitztavinu mitzvah tazvav, the mitzvahs of the Ramban left out, Sheshachah harav, Nitztavinu lahod, they think worth savoring the language of the Ramban. Nitztavinu lahodos l'shmo. Kadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to thank him, to express gratitude to him. Every time we learn Torah, Al HaTova HaGedol Sha'asa Lanu, the great gift, the great favor that Rabbeinu Shalom did for us, the great gift that he gave us, Besito Torasso Elein, he gave us his Torah. So you're going to learn Torah, you're going to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the gift of Torah. Hodiyanu Amas Martzuvin Lefanu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu let us know what's the right way to act, what's the right way to live. In what way will we live? How to live in a way that's consistent with what our Kadosh Baruch Hu values? Maisim harutzuim lefana. What sorts of maisim are desired? Can we do that are desirable to Kadosh Baruch Hu? Shebehem ninchal chayei olam haba. And thereby, we can live eternally. Torah is a remarkable gift. Where the Ramban? They're fascinating that the Ramban sort of uses this. He's framing Torah in a particular way. The gift of Torah, which enables us to live in Olam Hazeh in a way that we craft our Olam Haba. Where did he get that angle on Torah from in the context of Birkas HaTorah? Mishnah Perkei Avos, good. But specifically in the context of Birkas HaTorah? In the context of Torah, yeah, Emma? Ah, right. So Emma points out, when the Gemara, at the end of that Shach V'Tarah, Chafal from Aleph, the Gemara says, as you said before, maybe we should make Kal V'chomer from Birkas HaMazon to Birkas HaTorah, from Birkas HaTorah to Birkas HaMazon. And the Gemara says, no, Ikel HaMifrach. Maybe Birkas food uniquely requires a bracha l'achareh. After all, Shekein Nehenah. You have physical pleasure, which you don't necessarily have in an immediate visceral sense from learning. Sometimes you do. Certainly not in a physical sense. And you don't always enjoy the learning. Sometimes it takes time to appreciate it. The food, you can't ask a kash on a piece of kugel. Right? That's a Gemara. Shekein Nehenah. Birkas HaMazon. Shekein Nehenah. And the Gemara says in the other direction, you're not going to make a Kal V'chomer that if Torah requires a bracha lefaneh, all the more so food, because afterwards the Ikel HaMifrach, as Emma just quoted, Torah is unique because it brings you, it's Chai Olam. So the Ramban is presumably referencing that law. That Chai Olam means not only that Torah itself is a mitzvah, and Torah itself is of spiritual value, and Torah itself is of eternal value in a way that the pastrami sandwich, delicious as it is, it's ephemeral, it's wonderful, but it's passing. But the Ramban understood more than that. The Gemara means that Torah is your route to Chai Olam. Torah is a tool to get Chai Olam, which is what he says right here. That seems to be the way he understood the Gemara. And then he goes on to indeed quote that Gemara. And he mentions, the Gemara wanted to make Kal V'chomer, and the Gemara said, no, Yeshiva Zemi Derech HaPirchas. Mal Torah Shekein Chayei Olam. Ma'ala Torah Shekein Chayolam. And then he goes a couple lines down. He says, Ha'olam Yizeh, Shebirks HaTorah Lefanea, Mitzvahs Asei Doraisa. So it's a Gemara in the Talmud Bavli in Brachas Chafal Fomanal. And then he says, I have Yerushalmi as well, the Gemara de B'nei Marava, the Gemara of the people of the West, right? Whenever the Gemara refers to Eretz Yisrael, they refer to them as B'nei Marava, the West. Eretz Yisrael is not exactly to the west of Bavel, it's maybe even more south than west, but the root you take from Bavel, as a matter of fact, the Navi refers to Bavel as Mitzafon. Mitzafon ti pasach hara, evil, destruction, galus Bavel will come from the north. So how could it be that Bavel is to the north of Eretz Yisrael, but Eretz Yisrael is to the east of Bavel? It doesn't add up. Either it's north, south, or it's east, west. Well, Bavel was an empire. Good. Okay, so they're to the north. And anyone who remembers their geography or ancient history, remember, yeah. A little bit of Tarmad here. Oh, the Fertile Crescent. You don't travel straight from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. You don't travel straight because you're cutting through the desert. There's a Fertile Crescent that cuts around the top and then drops down. So, from the perspective of Eretz Yisrael, Bavel is to the north. From the perspective of Bavel, Eretz Yisrael is to the east. Because the last leg of the route coming to Eretz Yisrael, you're going south. The last leg of the route coming to Bavel, you're coming from the west to the east. Okay. The big Gemara de B'nei Marav, the Yerushalmi, beginning of the seventh paragraph of Brachas, Kaz Batar Bracha Lefaneh, Kaz Batar Bracha Lechaveh, Ma'kaz Balefaneh, Kishem Hashem Eker Havu Godel Elokeinu. Yerushalmi says, by Torah, you have a Bracha only beforehand, based on that same Pasuk. And by Mazon, Bracha La'acharav. V'chalte v'sevat v'rach Hashem Elokecha. So Miklal Zeh Mizba'er Sha'a Bracha Hazum in HaTorah. Rabban says, for all of this, from the Bavli, from Yerushalmi, you see that Birkas HaTorah is a din doraisa. And the obvious critique of the Rambam is, why didn't you count it? I know that rule number one of the Rambam's 14 Sharashim is that a mitzvah's, Tariq mitzvah only includes doraisas. It's doraisa. I know that Shorash Beis, the second of the Rambam's 14 criteria, is that a mitzvah only includes that which is Torah Shebichsav. It is in Torah Shebichsav. This is not a drasha. This is not a gzeir shava. This is not a klal prat klal. This is not halacha moshmi sina. This is a b'vei shabbas, Torah Shebichsav. And then, in the last two lines, he fends off another possible defense. The Rambam. Ein ro'i, it's very quick. And you got to see, as we've begun to see and learn Ramban al Torah as well, the Ramban moves very quickly and very subtly. So if you're snoozing, if you're asleep at the wheel, when you learn Ramban, you're going to miss a lot very quickly. If you blink, you're going to miss important points. So this wasn't just, whatever he said at the end. Ein roi l'minosa mitzvah achas im ha-kriya, kemosha mikr bikurim eino nimna achas im ha-va'asam, v'sipur tzias mitzrayim im achilas ha-pesach. What does that mean? It would not be appropriate to count it as one mitzvah together with kriya. Meaning, what's Ramban saying? Vim Tomar, I'll tell you why the Rambam, let me defend the Rambam. What defense the Rambam am I going to say? Nah, of course it's Daraisa, of course it's positive Chumash, but still the Rambam didn't count it as separate mitzvah, because he did count it, but not count it as separate mitzvah, it's part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. After all, this is the kasha that he implies and immediately deflates. I could have said, Avadat Adin Daraisa. You always say Birkas HaTorah in advance of and in conjunction with Talmud Torah. So maybe it never appears independent of Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is a mitzvah. Say Birkas HaTorah. That's the way you do Talmud Torah. So maybe it's not a separate mitzvah. Maybe it's just part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The Rambam does count the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So Ramban says, that can't be what the Rambam is thinking. Why? So there are several reasons why that can't be the Rambam's thinking. The Ramban says from a minyan hamitzvah perspective, from a sefer hamitzvah perspective, the Rambam's sefer hamitzvahs, which is as we said last time, the Ramban did not write hasagas in Mishnah Torah. The Ravid already did. The Ramban wrote hasagas in the sefer hamitzvahs. So in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, Birkas HaTorah just never appears. So the Ramban says, don't tell me that Birkas HaTorah doesn't appear here because it's part of Talmud Torah. Number one, you would expect some reference to Talmud Torah in the mitzvah, to Birkas HaTorah in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Okay, or maybe not. Sefer HaMitzvahs doesn't give all the pratim, only Mishnah Torah gives all the pratim. But the Ramban says, even from a Sefer HaMitzvahs perspective, we have other examples of such a phenomenon where there's a verbal piece that always comes in conjunction with an active piece, and yet it never comes independently, and yet it's a separate mitzvah. Where? So what two examples does he give? Right. So number one, Havos bringing Bikurim is a mitzvah in Parashat Mishpatim. Mikri Bikurim is perhaps to a certain extent the more famous parasha, because it's in Rishon, so you lay in it four times, and also because Arami Avadavi are psukim that are familiar to us from Leil HaSeder, but those are originally they are the beginning of the first four psukim of the Nusach of Havas of Mikra Bikurim. You only do Mikra Bikurim in conjunction with Havas Bikurim, and yet there's two separate mitzvahs. It tells you in the publisher in the footnote tells you in the parenthetical note rather, he tells you, you know, Mikra Bikur is mitzvah say kuf lamed beis. Havas Bikur is mitzvah say kuf chafei. Two separate mitzvahs. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is done in conjunction with Achilas HaPesach, and yet Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim he counts as mitzvah kuf nun zayin. Achilas Karban Pesach he counts independently as the mitzvah nun vav. We don't have a Karban Pesach, so you might be wondering, that's not really such a good tzushtel. We do have Achilas Matzah, and as a matter of fact, Gemara in Arvei Pesachim does say that if you hold the Achilas Matzah b'zman hazeh is only mitzvah drabanan, why would you hold that? So the same way we do hold halacha l'maaseh that maror is only daraisa in conjunction with Karban Pesach, there's no independent mitzvah of maror. The Gemara says maror is merely on a daraisa level, merely hechsher de pisra. It's just it's a appendage. It's an accessory to enhance Karban Pesach. If there's no Karban Pesach, then there's no maror min haTorah. We eat maror b'zman hazeh only midrabanan. So the Gemara has a sheet that we don't accept the halacha. The Gemara has a machlokas. Is matzah b'zman hazeh daris or not? Maybe matzah is also merely hechsher de pisra. We don't pass in that way. We pass it is also hechsher de pisra, but it is also independent mitzvah of the erev toch l'matzahs. And the Gemara says because we hold that there's a mitzvah daris of matzah even b'zman hazeh, that's why we hold that there's a mitzvah of sipur yitzias mitzrayim min haTorah b'zman hazeh. Those who hold that Matzah b'zman hazeh is drabanan also hold that Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is drabanan. Bavur zeh, as we quote from the Medrash in the Haggadah, Bavur zeh lo amarti b'shar shesh matzah mar menachal fanecha, the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim requires physical objects on the table. If there's no chiv darais of matzah nor karm pesach, there would be no darais of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Rabban says, you have two examples where you have an active mitzvah, a mitzvah maisa, and then there's a verbal mitzvah that comes along with it, and the Rambam counts them separately. He counts Sipur Yetzias, doesn't subsume Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim under Matzah Karban Pesach. He does not subsume Mikri Bikurim under Havas Bikurim. So why would he subsume Birkas HaTorah under Talmud Torah? So that's the attack the Rambam has. It can't be that it's counted, the Rambam meant it to be a part of Talmud Torah. You, having begun to learn the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam learned the Mishnah Torah too. The Rambam was asking from the perspective, say, for mitzvahs. Looking from the perspective of Mishnah Torah, there's another attack you can have on this. Don't tell me that Birkas HaTorah is part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, because then... Exactly, they don't belong in Hilchos Talmud Torah. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and then one of the details is Birkas HaTorah. Exactly. But he doesn't put it there. He puts it in the middle of Hilchos Tefillah. And he never mentions a pasuk at all. At all. Hallo Dover. So maybe it's a part of the mitzvah d'orais of Tefillah. Perhaps. The Rambam, though, so that's interesting. He does put it under the heading of Tefillah, certainly. The Rambam, though, is quite clear, the beginning of Hilchos Tefillah, which you have not yet seen, that min haTorah, there's the din d'orais of Rama holds there is a din d'orais, a chiv d'orais, the daven once a day, every day. Other Rishonim disagree. Rabban does not think that there's a daily obligation in HaTorah to daven. Everyone agrees with Rabbanan, Mechuyev to daven Erev Avoker v'Tzaharayim, but the Rambam thinks that there's a Chiyuv d'oraisa to daven every day. However, even the Rambam says, but what you say is largely up to you. Maybe you have to have Shavach Bakasha Hodah, but beyond that, specifics are min HaTorah up to you. There's no mention of Birkas HaTorah being d'oraisa. And as a matter of fact, if you look back at Perek Zayin of Hilchos Tefillah, the beginning of Perek Zayin, remember, Rambam talks about Birkas HaTorah in Halachas Yud Yud Aleph of Hilchos Tefillah. He starts saying, you look, it's always important to look at context. Looking at the beginning of a Perek will usually, 9 times out of 10, give you a sense of what the Perek is all about. So he already tells you, he's going to talk about the Birkas HaShachar, Birkas HaErev, and Hamapil and the Birkas HaShachar. And his opening language is very specific. And rather than starting with Kasev HaTorah or Mitzvah Seimen HaTorah, he starts Perek Zayin with Kishatiknu Chachamim Divrei Tfilas Eilu Tiknu Brachas Acheres Avarachas and B'chol Yom. When Chazal or Masakin, the Midrabanan, the Nusach of Shmona Esrei, which is Tfilah, they were also Masakin other Brachas. They're going to come in the sphere of Tfilah. It's very, very clear. The first two words out of his mouth are Kishatiknu Chachamim. In other words, he's making it very clear up front. First thing I want to tell you is we are talking about Dinim Drabanan. It couldn't be clearer than that. Even, as he told me, Parak Aleph, even the Nusach of Shmona Esrei itself, which is the way I'm a Kaim Tfila Daraisa, but the specific Nusach of Shmona Esrei is only Drabanan. I mean, Atari could have said something else to fulfill Tfila Daraisa. And then he says, and here are more Nuschaos Midrabanan. Hello, Davar. So that's the problem. So it's a multi-layered problem. And Megillas Esther, to take this kasha one step further, the Megillas Esther on the facing page from the Ramban, who always defends the Rambam. Through thick and thin, he always has a yishuv for the Rambam. Even the Megillas Esther hesitates here. You see, Amar Ramban, on the left-hand side, Megillas Esther, Amar Ramban, he quotes the Ramban, the Mitzvah Tezvav, over here, the vast majority of that paragraph, he's quoting the Ramban. And then the end, Nun Lamed, nearly, he diver Ramban Sodkin Bezeh Hamakam. In this spot, the Ramban seems to me to be tzodek. He is right. Wow. He always has a defense for the Rambam, but by Mitzvah Tzazrah, Birkas HaTorah, even the Miguel Zester breaks down. V'lo yodati, lama lo mano harav. I myself don't know. Why did the Rambam count him? Imlo, now he tries to give a little bit of a term. Unless he thought that this is not a drasha gemurah daraisa, it's merely it's really din rabbanan with a remez in the chumash, but not a drasha gemurah. Not one of you gemurah shatar dreshes then that would generate a real din daraisa. Amnam alav lahavi raya. Miguel Sester says even though he thought up a possible solution and maybe it's not a real drasha gemurah daraisa, he says but. The burden of proof, learning Bava Basra, we appreciate his language. Alav Lahavi Raya, I mean, he's the Motzi Mechaveiro. In other words, Miguel Zester saying, the Gemara is pretty clear. Min HaTorah, Kal V'chomer. And not only, and the Gemara even made all those, the Rabbi Yochanan's Kasha, Shri Kal V'chomer, in this direction, that direction, the very notion you want to make Kal V'chomer sounds like you did the right. Plus, the Gemara is dealing with Birkas HaMazon and Birkas HaTorah in total parallel. Maybe I can make Kal V'chomer, Birkas HaMazon and Birkas HaTorah. It's very clear from the way of Yochanan unpacks it that Birkas HaTorah and Birkas HaMazon are of equal significance. So how will Dover, what's going on? Miguel Zester says, if the Rambam wants to claim that this drasha is not a drasha gemurah d'oraisa, we would say it's not drasha at all. It's actually Beferi Shepasuk. It's more than a drasha gemurah. It's Tarshish Mechsav. If the Rambam wants to say, no, it's not really pshat in the pasuk, and it's really merely an asmachta. All of lahavi, right? Even the Megillas Esther doesn't really find a defense of the Rambam very compelling. So this is taka kasha. So as I mentioned last time, I want to turn to the words of Rav Bezalel Zsolti, who gave a public shiur about this Yerushalayim probably in the 70s, Shavuos time. And pointed out that working through the sugya of the Pirtei Dinim of Birkas HaTorah, we're going to find patterns that will help us understand Birkas HaTorah, will help us resolve this kasha against the Rambam, and might even help us to understand Talmud Torah in general. Who was Rabbi Saul Zsolti, just for a moment? See, his name, how many people here ever heard of Saul Zsolti before this week? Zayin with a chupchik, Vav Lamed Tes Yud. There are some Zsoltis that have been in our yeshiva. I think they are related. So almost no one here raised their hand. I'm not here who Rabbi Saul Zsolti. So just to give you a sense of who he was, many, many years ago, I was in Rabbi Willig's office, back when Rabbi Willig's office was in this building, in the back of Mass. And I remember I took a volume, a Torah journal off the shelf, published by a kollel in Yerushalayim many decades ago. The Chavrei HaKollel, the Rosh HaKollel, was Rabbi Saul Zsolti. And the Chavrei HaKollel, who at that point were young Talmidei Chachamim, were people who had written articles in this journal also, were people like Shlomo Zalman Orbach and Yosef Shalom Elyashiv and maybe Tzvi Pesach Frank. Could that be? No, Tzvi Pesach Frank isn't called. There were a number of other very, very... Like the younger light who did not yet have Harav appended to their name. I think that there were a number of major Talmidei Chachamim who were members of the Kollel. I think the three most famous names were Shlomo Zalman Orbach, the young Shlomo Zalman Orbach, the young Yosef Shalom Elyashiv, and the young Ovadi Yosef. They were all members of the Kollel. Their Rosh Kollel was Rabbi Saul Zsolti. It gives you a sense of he was a Talmud Chacham of great measure who has not ended up, his name has not become as famous to us as that of some of his illustrious Talmidim, like Harav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Harav Yosef Shalom Elyashiv, and Harav Ovadi Yosef. He was a Talmud Chacham of significant stature. So there are three volumes that I know of his Torah that are published under the name Mishnah Yavetz. One is on Aruch Chaim, one is on Yoredei, one is on Chosha Mishpat. Aruch Chaim, specifically on Moedim, and they tell you in the introduction, these are the Shiurim. He used to give public Shiurim around Yerushalayim before and during the Yom Tovim. And over the years, he gave a series of Shiurim, a Pesach, a series of Shiurim, a Shavuos, and so on and so forth. They published them. Very, very beautiful. So Pesach is a lav in Yonei Pesach. Sukkot is a lav in Yonei Sukkot. It's not so much in terms of Hilchos Shavuos. So some of the Shavuos Shiurim are about the Beis HaMikdash Nekedinim, but Shtei HaLechem, and so on and so forth. Sfiras HaOmer, talks about Sfiras HaOmer. And then some of the Shavuos Shiurim are about Talmud Torah. And there's one, Simon Laman Av, is about Birkas HaTorah. So Mishnas Yavetz, we'll take questions soon. And Mishnas Yavetz, Simon Laman Aleph. So he points out the following. He points out, he is not the first to point to these machloksim, but he is, as far as I know, the first to relate them back to our issue of the Rambam Rambam. He says, let's take a look at two difficult comments of the Shulchan Aruch. Let's take a look at two very problematic comments of Shulchan Aruch. Simon Mem Zayin Arachayim is the Simon in Turin Shulchan Aruch of Birkas HaTorah. Let's look at the beginning and the end. So the beginning opens Birkas HaTorah Tzarech Lizar B'Ma'od. Gotta take Birkas HaTorah very seriously. Every once in a while, Shulchan Aruch will have that such a line. The tour of the Shulchan Aruch, they don't say that about every mitzvah. Every once in a while, you'll hear, this mitzvah Tzarech Lizar B'Ma'od. So the opening Taz says, see on the inside, the Taz is on the inside side in Rashi position. Taz Magin David, the two rays up. So he says, Atama Beisos to B'Shem Haran. Several reasons for why it's so significant, why the Torah is so significant. The Gemara Nedarim, maybe we'll get back to. And at its core, Birkas HaTorah is a mitzvah d'oraisa, unlike most brachos. We'll come back to Siv Beis, but for now, let's take a look at Sifim Gimel and Dal. Hakosiv b'divrei Torah, afa pisheino korei tzarech levarech. Shulchan Aruch says, if you're writing divrei Torah, even though you're silent, you're writing Torah, you have to say, if you're writing notes, you have to say a bracha before you write notes. But in Sif Dalet, HaMeharer B'Divrei Torah, Eino Tzarech Levarech. If I'm merely thinking and learning, then there's no requirement to say a Birkas HaTorah. So if I'm not expressing the learning, if it's just in my head, I'm thinking and learning, no Chiyuv Birkas HaTorah. If I'm expressing it, what I'm expressing verbally or in writing, then there's a Chiyuv Birkas HaTorah. Says the Ramah, V'hu Adin She'yachol Lifsok Din B'lo Nisinas Tamud Var. It's even the case that if someone asks me a shayla before shachar, someone catches me on the way into shachar, so I haven't said Birkas HaTorah yet, and someone asks me a shayla, this mutter asa. Rama says, do I have to say, here's the question, do I have to say, give me a moment, let me say Birkas HaTorah, then I'll answer you? I'm going to answer on the spot. It'll be smoother, it'll be more polite, if I can answer on the spot, but am I allowed to, or is it a violation of learning of Birkas HaTorah? So what does Rama say? Can I or can't I? It depends. If I want to explain, then I have to say Birkas HaTorah. If I'm just going to tell them the shot, no need for Birkas HaTorah. What does that mean? So we heard the Rabbi Newberger mentioned yesterday, he was in Azkara for a peddler, and what's that to me? Sometimes you need to lose a night in order to work on a shayla that will give a night to another couple. They said, you have you have enough rice to figure out what the din is. You'll just shoot from the hip when you possibly tie off. And then you have to deliver it with care and concern. So if you're asking me, if you ask me a shayla, I'm not just going to say anything. Obviously, you're going to think it through before you answer. But the thinking it through in your head, that's here with the Birkas Torah, does not require Birkas Torah. Even the Ramah has Mechadish, quoting from Rishonim, quoting from the Ran. Even say the fact that I told you one word, aser mutter, that's not called talking and learning. If I'm going to explain to you, it's aser because X, Y, Z, it's mutter because A, B, C, the X, Y, Z, the A, B, C, that's deeper b'divrei Torah, and that would require Birkas HaTorah. So the Ramah says, someone asks you a shayla, so you could say, you think it through, without a Birkas HaTorah. If you're up early to learn, say you're a Birkas HaTorah. If you weren't up early to learn, so you'll say Birkas HaTorah later, but you'll give a psak. And if you want to, you could say, the din is, that case is mutter. Give me a moment to say Birkas HaTorah, and I'll explain to you why. That case is aser. Give me a moment to say Birkas HaTorah, I'm glad to explain the background. But again, that's an example of this idea that the Ramah, that the Shulchan Aruch is quoting, that here b'divrei Torah, thinking and learning does not require a bracha. You're going to go listen to a shir. And we'll listen to a shir, I'm sure many of you know people, know adults, who have been a serious nefesh. Maybe some of these adults are related to you. Maybe some of these adults even live in your home. Who have been a serious nefesh. You get you have hours to learn after. You have a very relaxed shacharis at 8:10 in the morning. And then you have Baruch Hashem. You have the gift, the luxury of hours to learn afterwards. And I'm sure many of you know people who need to be at work long before 9:30, and they need to daven significantly before 8:10, and will even get up earlier to have an hour to learn before the 6:30 shachar. To have an hour to learn before the 7 o'clock shachar. So you come to shul to learn for an hour before shachar. So the question is, you have to say Birkas HaTorah before you start learning, or you could save the Birkas HaTorah for when you start shachar. So the Shulchan Aruch would say, what would Shulchan Aruch say? Do you have to say Birkas HaTorah before you listen to a shir?
No.
So you say no, unless.
No,
but if you're giving the shir, you got to say Birkas HaTorah. If you're listening to the shir, if you're going to speak up, you're going to ask questions. Right? It's going to be difficult to say, I have a question. Once I let me say Birkas HaTorah, I'll tell you my question. Right? So if you're planning to ask questions, which is a good thing to do, so then within reason, so then you got to say Birkas HaTorah in advance. Or if you're planning to take notes, you're taking notes in the shir. That's the Mechaber's sense of Gimel. But if I'm just going to passively listen, there's no need for Birkas HaTorah. What does the Gra have to say about this? What does the Gra have to say about the Shulchan Aruch? Take a look inside, Rabbi Yisrael. Take a look inside. Take a look in the bottom of the Be'er HaGra. Now, what I should mention, Gavi pointed out to me, in the context of this Sifrei Shulchan Aruch, a beautiful comment of that terrorist that came. I didn't even realize when I wrote the arrow, Gavi, it drew Gavi's attention to the comment of the terrorist that came. Who very beautifully says that when a Jew, when a parent, you should all be zocha to be parents at the right time. All be zocha to be parents of healthy children. Children who are physically healthy and spiritually healthy. And not a bracha to take for granted. So when you'll be zocha and mitzvah Hashem to be parents, so the Atar Zakenim says, it's of supreme importance, it's of unique importance, that a parent should on a regular basis daven for their children, right? And specifically, daven for their children's hatzlacha in Torah mitzvahs. Daven for your children not only begeshem, but beruach. And he actually identifies 3 points in davening, where you should ought to have particular kavana, you're davening for your children's hatzlacha in Torah mitzvahs. Birkas HaTorah, and then the second bracha of Kriyat Shema, Avar Abba, Avos Olam, paying what nusach you daven. And then the third is at the end of Avol Tzion. You daven for children, that children should carry on Amar Sar. It's a beautiful and poignant Teres Ganim. In Meretz Hashem, in a couple of years from now, you'll find it even far more poignant than you find it now. When it's Lamasa. Right now, it's like Kachem. Yeah, when I'll be a parent. Meretz Hashem, at the right time, be Lamaisa. And then you'll look back at that Teres Ganim beginning of Sinem Zayin Archaim. Ah! But for now, as the sparring lamdanim, turn your attention to the Vilna Gaon on the bottom. The Be'er Agra, here on the bottom, Be'er Agra is usually very, very brief. Let's see, in the bottom line of the Be'er Agra, he gives you Mar Makamos. Here's usually what he does. Shulchan Aruch says X, and he says up. It's a rip, it's a Gemara, it's a Yerushalmi. He's very, very brief. He was a believer in that, that Ad HaYom HaZeh, we really should attempt to commit Torah Shavah Peh to writing as little as possible. Dechuya. The extent do we need to write down Torah Shalpei, write it down. He tried to be as concise as possible. So usually his comments are a fraction of a line. When it gets long, you know you're in for, it's a unique situation. Usually he has a strong kash. So here he says, Hamahar. You see the first comment, see the bear on the bottom? Kaimalon, lav kadibur dami. He says, ironically, the Amud before, Brachas Chafa Mebeid, the Gemara had a discussion whether here or Kedibur Dami, here or Lav Kedibur Dami. Can I be Yotze Shema just by thinking it? Can I be Yotze Birk Zamazam just by thinking it? Some of you have had a Rebbe at one point needed to have surgery on his vocal cords, and the surgeon gave him very strict instructions in terms of, if I remember correctly, he had 100 words a day for the first week or two as part of his recuperation. He couldn't strain his vocal cords. So you got to make 100 words a day. Talk about counting your words. And you have to make a cheshbon of which verbal mitzvahs will you actually verbalize, and which people in your life do you want to be able to speak to at least a few words per day. And most of the verbal mitzvahs, you're going to have to rely on hear her. You have to, you'll think through the benching instead of saying it. You'll think through the davening instead of saying it. In a normal situation, do we allow that? It actually takes longer to think through a bracha that you're used to saying. Actually takes longer than to say the bracha because we're so murgal in saying it. Actually think in your head. So hear each word in your head takes a lot longer. But regardless, can I, under normal circumstances, not a shasad chak, not a shas hatak. In normal circumstances, do I have the right to opt to just think it? No. Kaim alon the lav kedibur dami. The Gemara has a discussion about it, and we come to the conclusion: here or lav kedibur dami. If you can't speak, it's not an option. I can't speak, so then hearer is better than nothing. But the hearer is not the same as speech. We paskin says the Gemara: here lav kedibur dami. And he gives him Mar Makamos. But then he says a couple lines later, after quoting more Mar Makamos about Hirulav Kedibur, and since speech, thought is not the same as speech, that's why you only have to make a bracha if you talk and learning, but not if you think and learning. But then a few lines later, the third line, in the middle, Avol Kazet Tzarachiyan. This is all very shver. Kama bracha a mitzvah. You're making a bracha on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. V'chilaka mitzvah behir. What does it matter says the Gros. The Gros is not the Gros' own vart. I hear Lav Kizib. I mean, look in the Beis Yosef, the Rishonim, that the Shulchan Aruch are based on. That's what they say. Here are Lav Kizib Dami, and that's why. Yeah, I believe it's the Agur, when the late Chachmi Ashkenaz who says Nahar b'Divrei Torah ain't Tzarach L'Varach. Here a lot of Kedibur Dami. So the Gemara said, yeah, that's what this Pesach Shulchan Aruch is based on, and I can tell you the Makoros to know that we pass here a lot of Kedibur Dami. But the Gemara says after a few lines that I question the relevance of here a lot of Kedibur Dami to Birkas HaTorah. You're right that the same as speaking. So if there's a mitzvah to say Kriya Shema, thinking Kriya Shema is not the same as saying it. If there's a mitzvah to say Birkas HaMazon, thinking the Birkas HaMazon is not the same as saying it. Okay. When the halacha requires speech, so the Gemara debates whether thinking a text is the same as speaking it, and we come to the conclusion it is not the same. But the Gemara says that's relevant to Kriya Shema, which is a mitzvah mira. It's relevant to Birkas HaMazon, a mitzvah mira. But Talmud Torah, you're making a bracha on Talmud Torah. The chilaka mitzvah here, but there's no Talmud Torah not the same as Kriya Shema. Talmud Torah not the same as Birkas HaMazon. If you think in learning, there's no really. So right now, there are 25 people in this room, and only one of us is talking. So of the 24 of you, are all be mevatel Torah?
We're writing.
Aha! So you're taking notes. Let's see, listening to Shir. So it's Bittel Torah. Rebbe, that's why I had to chit chat with my friend during Shir, because if I'm just listening, it'd be Bittel Torah. That's clearly correct. What? Oh, Shishmeko is a little different. Okay, fair enough. And let's say you're not listening to Shir. And let's say Rafi Ben Shishmeko. Okay, so let's say you're sitting with a Gemara. So there's certainly value, as Gemara itself points out, to talking aloud when you learn. But let's say you spend 5 minutes looking at Sefer quietly. So it was Bittel Torah. I spent 2 hours learning from a Sefer. I didn't say a word. Bittel Torah, really? Of course not, the Gemara says. He says, I'll prove it to you. Not just it seems to us absurd. He says, I'll prove it to you. That's the pasuk in Yehoshua, which is one of the primary four relations in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. V'hagisa v'yom v'layla. And he says, what does the verb v'hagisa mean? Ritzon olom, reish lama says ritzon olom, believe. It's in the mind, in the heart. How do I know? Kemosha kasev, a pasuk in Tehillim that we say several times a day. V'hegyon libi, yil ratzon. Yotzer imrei fi, the words of my mouth, the speech of my mouth. V'hegyon libi, l'panacha. As the Kadosh Baruch, we daven that Kadosh Baruch should accept the words that we say and the thoughts, the hegyon of the lev. In medieval Hebrew and in modern Hebrew, higayon is logic. Okay, that's a more contemporary usage. But even in the language of Tanakh, lahagos means some sort of thought. If not specifically logical thought, maybe it's broader, but hegyon halev clearly doesn't mean the speech of the heart, the speech of the mind. It means thoughts. Look, and he says, because you can live sukh din. And then the Ramah says, you keep on passing a shayla. What's going on? What's going on? So the Gra says, I don't understand this at all. I understand. Here lav kedibur dami l'mainaf kemina. There's a mitzvah of amuna. So, do you have to constantly be saying you believe in God? No. It's worth saying it from time to time, but if you feel it, if you think it, that's the mitzvah of emunah. Not every mitzvah has to be verbalized. Verbal mitzvahs have to be verbalized. But Talmud Torah isn't per se a verbal mitzvah. It's a verbalization of Torah is a valuable tool. If we want to share Torah with each other, obviously, if you try to learn with your chavrusa telepathically, it's going to be tough. So sometimes you see chavrusas who are sitting there in the base marriage not talking to each other. Usually that means that they were talking to each other a minute ago, and now they're stopping to think about a question. But of course, talking is going to be an important tool in Torah, even when you learn by yourself, like we were saying before. To speak it out instead of just thinking it, the Gemara says is valuable. To give a shir telepathically would be tough too. So of course, speech has an important role to play, but that's not the mitzvah itself. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Mahar b'divrei Torah yibim mekayim mitzvah Talmud Torah. So why do you say the Yonah b'brach? So that's the Gemara's first kasha on the Mechaber. Then, there's a second. A second Mechaber. Mechaber is the name we use. Mechaber literally means the author, the composer. But as you know, we use that specifically. There's one Jew who wrote one specific sefer for which he specifically is known as the author. Which Jew? Yosef Kahn, who wrote the Shulchan Aruch. You call him the Mechaber, the author. Sometimes a perish on some other sefer refers to a Mechaber, then he means whatever you write a perish on. But Stam, the Mechaber is Yosef Kahn of Shulchan Aruch. So you have the Mechaber in Sifim Gimel and Dalet, specifically Dalet. He wrote B'Devei Torah in Tzarech L'Dorech. And the Gra says, I don't understand. Why not? So let's take a look at one other sheet of the Mechaber. We'll take a look at one of the sheets of the Mechaber. We'll begin to find an answer, and then we'll head to the Beis HaMedrash to continue to work on the sugya because there's much more to go. Se'if Yud Dalet. Let's jump forward 10 Se'ifim. Se'if Yud Dalet. A very innocent looking sif in Shulchan Aruch. Four words. How shver can you be in four words? Noshim Mivarchos Birkas HaTorah.
They have no
chiyuv. Women, the Shulchan Aruch says women make a Birkas HaTorah. Women make a Birkas HaTorah. Women are not obligated in daily Talmud Torah. Women are not obligated in daily Talmud Torah. Both men and women have plenty of mitzvahs. The vast majority of mitzvahs of Torah apply equally to men and women. There are a couple of rare exceptions that apply only to men and not to women. It's important to put things into context. I say the Chafetz Chaim wrote a Sefer HaMitzvahs HaKatzar, the abbreviated Sefer HaMitzvahs. We've been learning the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs, all the Tariq Mitzvahs. So Chafetz Chaim, I mentioned the other week, Chafetz Chaim was a very, very practically minded man. So one of the 80 some odd Svarim they wrote was an abridgment of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, how do you cut out any mitzvahs? Only the mitzvahs exactly. As Chaim says, only mitzvahs are no b'zman hazeh. It's interesting even to think about. How many Tariq mitzvahs, not Rabbanah, just Daraisas, how many Tariq mitzvahs apply b'zman hazeh? So he has, I forget how many, he has 100 some odd, or maybe a little over 200 lavin, and mitzvahs asay, 91 mitzvahs, out of the 248 mitzvahs asay in the Torah, only 91, that's less than 40%, are noeg b'zman hazeh. Fascinating. So, and of those 91, you look at the list, some of them are noeg more frequently than others. You know, Talmud Torah comes up, Talmud Torah and Shabbos come up more frequently, let's say, Pinyon Petzah Hamar, right? 91 mitzvahs are noeg b'zman hazeh. Of those 91 mitzvahs, how many of them are not equal chiyuv on men and women? I believe the number is 7. Out of 91 mitzvahs, say daraisa noeg b'zman hazeh, only 7 of them are a chiyuv on men, but not on women. So, if number one, it's important to recognize the vast majority of halacha, like Bava Basra, for instance, this year, or Psachim last year, applies absolutely equally to both men and women. Both men and women are equally required to practice honesty in their business dealings. Both men and women are equally required to be careful about bet on lachaveros, which is 175 blot in Bav Basra. Both men and women are equally obligated in the dinim of Pesach, both mitzvah and mitzvah. So, okay. 7 mitzvahs are a chiyuv for men, but not for women. One of those mitzvahs is Talmud Torah. Both men and women are obligated in that aspect of Talmud Torah as a hechsher mitzvah. Talmud Torah is a hechsher mitzvah. In order to keep any other din, I have to know the dinim. How am I gonna give tzedakah properly if I don't know how to allocate my tzedakah? I'm gonna give helter skelter, just give tzedakah to wherever. No, there are dinim for how to get tzedakah. How am I gonna know how to eat matzah properly? I'm a kind of CPC Israel. I don't know the dinim. How am I gonna know how to say kriyashma and be mispal, so on and so forth? So Talmud Torah is a hechsher to all the other mitzvahs. And then, as you know, it's also the Hakisu Yom V'Layla. There's a mitzvah b'fnei atzma. Talmud Torah per se, learning Torah, knowing Torah, is in and of itself a mitzvah d'araisa. That obligation of Talmud Torah per se, that a Jewish man is obligated to learn Torah every single day, the Hakisu Yom V'Layla, the Chiyuv Hasmada, that's an obligation for men, but not for women. A woman wants to learn Torah, isn't it? But she has no obligation in ongoing Talmud Torah. She has an obligation, as do men, of knowing what you need to know in order to keep the dinim that you need to keep. The vast majority of Shulchan Aruch applies equally to men and women. Here and there, there are segments that don't. Tefillin does not apply equally to men and women. Tzitzis. Here and there, I have chunks of Arachayim, The vast majority of Shulchan Aruch applies equally to men and women. The Talmud Torah is a Hechsher mitzvah for both. But Talmud Torah is a mitzvah per se, mitzvah ben v'yatzma, only a chiyuv for men. And the Shulchan Aruch says, if a woman decides to learn Torah, she should be saying a Birkas HaTorah. What's surprising about that? What does Shulchan Aruch tell you in Hilchos Shofar? Shulchan Aruch Hamba had a machlokes in Hilchos Shofar. And he said, what was it? Tav Kuf? Pay tes. Yeah? And the Chaver says that of course women have a kima mitzvah, the Gemara calls Eina Mitzvah Viosa. They're not obligated, but choosing, volunteering to fulfill. Women can volunteer to fulfill the mitzvah shofar, which itself is a little bit of a chiddush, because to blow shofar for no reason, once you're done with your mitzvah shofar, just tell me you're in the mood of blowing shofar in the afternoon, is a violation of a din d'rabbanan of mashmiya kol. So that's what the Mishnah points. Mishnah Rosh Hashanah tells us that someone over bar mitzvah should not be blowing shofar without a kiyama mitzvah on Rosh Hashanah. So you need to hear shofar and shul. Hey, you're going to go blow after you yotze. You're going to go blow for someone who's a home bound. Also, the habit to blow for a group of women. So Shulchan Aruch says that is valid, even though they're not mechuyavos, but they have a kiyama mitzvah. You absolutely can blow for a group of women, even though I myself was already yotze. The question is there a bracha or not? It comes up in the context of shofar. It comes up in the context of sukkah and lulav. And the Mechaber Ramah have Machlokas, which we already earlier Sfarad Ashkenaz Machlokas, Rambam versus Tosfos. The Mechaber, the Sfaradi, follows the Rambam from several centuries earlier, and the Ramah, the Ashkenazi, follows Tosfos from several centuries earlier. Do you make a Birkas HaMitzvah when you volunteer a mitzvah? The Sfaradim say no, and the Ashkenazim say yes. So Sfaradi women, Sfaradiot, will shake lulav on Sukkis without a bracha. Ashkenazios will shake lulav with a bracha. Not mechuyavos to shake lulav. But if a Sfardia volunteers to shake lulav, she'll shake lulav without any bracha. If Ashkenazis volunteers to shake lulav, she will shake lulav with a bracha. And the same is true for sukkah. If an Ashkenazis woman chooses to have a meal in the sukkah, she has to say Elisha v'sukkah. If a Sephardic woman chooses to eat meal sukkah, she's not supposed to say Elisha v'sukkah. Well, and same is true for shofar. So in our shul, after 5 minutes after davening is over Rosh Hashanah, there's another tkiyah shofar. Usually, for only women are coming to that tkiyah shofar. So one of the women will say a bracha, and then the tokeiah blows 30 kolos. That's because we're an Ashkenazi shul. In a Sephardi shul, they could have another tkiyah shofar for women, but no one would say, if the only people are being yotze that kiyah shofar are women, there'll be no bracha. That's the machlokas, Rambam Shulchan Aruch versus Tosfos and Ramah. When you volunteer a mitzvah, do you say a bracha or not? The issue, lechor, revolves around the word vitzivanu. Okay. Are you going to say vitzivanu? We're chazal mesakin birkas hamitzvahs on mitzvahs that when it's not really a mitzvah, literally does not mean good deed. Mitzvahs are good deeds. But that's not what the term means. Every mitzvah is a good deed. But the word mitzvah, it means a tzivut, obligation, a commandment. So that's the question. We're chazal misakim birkas mitzvahs if it's not a commandment. The woman is not commanded to shake lulav. She has the option of shaking lulav. She has the option of shaking lulav. So the Balya Tosfos apparently hold, it is a mitzvah. It's not an obligation for her, but for Klal Yisrael it's an obligation. So if she's volunteering that which is, in a communal sense, an obligation, she says a birkas mitzvah. And the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch hold, no, it has to be a personal obligation. For her, personally, it's not obligatory, it's voluntary. So you're not going to say, you can do it. Eim mitzvah v'yosah is certainly a kiyama mitzvah, but no bracha. That's a machlokas across many mitzvahs. Until you get to birkas HaTorah, where the Mechaber, mysteriously, says the women say Birkas HaTorah. The problem is, his source, as a little letter of the Be'er HaGolah, it has a little letter Kuf, the beginning of Sif Yudalad, takes it to the top outside corner, it's the Ugger, the shame of the Marimulin. Yeah, so those are late Ashkenazi Rishonim. I told you, the Ugger is one of the, like a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch type of sefer from the late Chachmei Ashkenaz. So yeah, Ashkenazim say that women should say Birkas HaTorah if they're volunteering to learn. That's consistent with their approach. But the Gra says, I don't understand, but the Mechaber? The Mechaber? And the Gra begins to ask the Kasha, and later Achronim complete the Kasha. How are you saying Vitzivanu? He says, yeah, this is considered Ha'ikr. He says, Al Pitosvis, Mishar Poskim, the Nashma Barchos, Akal Metasheh, Shazman Grama. He says, this is based on the Ashkenazi opinion that if you're volunteering a mitzvah, you say a bracha. The problem is, as Rav Zsolti quotes from his Mechutani Hagon Hagadol, the Mechut means literally Mechutani, that their children are married to each other, or sometimes Mechutani means more broadly someone's related to him by marriage. He quotes Harav Menachem Tzvi Eichenstein. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of him, but you may have heard of the city where he was a Rav. Bal Machaber Sefer Chuvas Pnei Yehoshua, pre-Yehoshua. Not sure if you've heard of that either. But he was a Gaivit of St. Louis, Missouri, the America. So his, so Zsolti says, this Rav Eichenstein, if you could do some historical research later, see who was a Rav in St. Louis in the 70s. Apparently a big Talmud Chacham. So he said to him, my chutzpah sent me this kasha. The Gra points out this shita is based on the shita of Tosas, which is beautiful for the Agur. But why is Shulchan Aruch quoting it? If the Rambam quoted it, that would be fine. But Shulchan Aruch, it's in total contradiction with Shulchan Aruch holds in every other place. In Hilchos Shofar, in Hilchos Lulav, what's going on? So you have a double kasha on the Mechaber. On the one hand, on the other hand. On the one hand, he has too little Birkas HaTorah in the context of here. The Gra says, Mechaber should have said, there's a bracha on here. Why do you say there's no bracha on here? But there's Talmud Torah over here. On the other hand, it seems to be too much Birkas HaTorah in the context of women. Again, for an Ashkenazi, it's consistent. But the Mechaber, Lishitaso, should have said the same things he said by Shofar Sukumula. If a woman wants to volunteer the mitzvah, Tavo Leha Bracha, but she doesn't make, you don't make a bracha, you don't make a Birkas HaMitzvah, that's your obligation. So why is Shofar being inconsistent? On the one hand, there's no Chiyav Bahir. On the other hand, there is a Chiyav for women. So, Revelvel Salvechik, Briskarov, one of Chaim's younger sons, younger brother of Rav Moshe Salvechik, he used to give shir for decades downstairs in room 101. I bumped in yesterday, I saw you, I was in Gluck, walking back from Mincha to Beis Medrash, and I bumped into Rabbi Reichman, Rabbi Herschel Reichman, one of the older Rosh Yeshiva and Har Yeshiva, and he told me that a number of years back, the younger Rabbi Meiselman, Rabbi Moshe Meiselman's son, was around Washington and came to Yeshiva, and he's a great grandson of Moshe Salvechik. His grandmother, Rebbetzin Shlomas Meiselman, was a sister to the Rav and to Baron Salvechik. So Rabbi Reichman said he took him. He said, "Come, let's walk together." They walked from the Shenk Shul 185th between Saint Nick and Audubon. They walked down 185th to the corner, and then came down Amsterdam to the corner of 186th Street. He showed him room 101. He said, "That's the way your great grandfather, Meir Salvechik, used to walk every day, because he lived down at 175th Street." And said, "And this is the room we used to give shir up until he passed away in 1941, I think." Reb Chaim's elder son, the younger Rabbi Meiselman's great grandson. He wants to see where did my great grandfather give shir. He said, "Right over there, room 101 downstairs, that room that we casually walk by before we set off the alarm as we walk out the 186th Street doors." So Rav Moshe Salvechik's younger brother, Velvel, Briskerov, the Griz, so he quotes the one piece he has in the Sefer on Hilchas Brachas, the last paragraph, if you want, you can take a look after, it's downstairs in the Beis Medrash. Last paragraph he quotes from his father, Chaim Salvechik, Chaim Brisker, addressed this Machlokas Mechaber Gra, specifically the first one. What's the problem here? The Gra, the very short kasha. Let's prat in the Mechaber. So I'll give you the kernel that Reb Chaim says, and then we'll head down to the Beis Medrash to continue working the sugya, and hopefully that kernel you can begin to fit into other parts of the sugya. And then tomorrow, in Shir, we'll put all pieces together. Rav Chaim's Yesod is he leaves it encased in somewhat mysterious language. He says, apparently the Shulchan Aruch understood that Birkas HaTorah is not a Birkas HaMitzvah. It's not a bracha. The gross kasha was, what do you mean? There's no bracha here, but there's a mitzvah Talmud Torah behirer. So he said. So Rav Chaim said, ah, apparently the Mechaber on the other end understood that's not a bracha on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It's a rather, it's a bracha on the chetz of Talmud Torah. And that solves all the problems. What does that mean? Bracha mitzvah bracha. What's the chetz of Talmud Torah? What that presumably means, the way Rav Zhalti unpacks it, and there was a stipler in Simon Chavdez in Maseches Brachas unpacks it somewhat similarly, is the following. The Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Brachas tells us that there are various categories of brachas. We've all heard these categories before. It's a Perak Alpha Lachadal, I believe it is, Gimel Lachadal, Hilchos Brachas. He says there are Birkas HaMitzvahs, and the Birkas Shavuot Vahoda, and the Birkas Amen. So the Gra was assuming in Siv Dalad, and the truth is also in Siv Yud Dalad. The Scrub doesn't say it, but the Rishalti and others put it together. The Gra is working on the assumption that Birkas HaTorah is a Birkas HaMitzvah, which is a reasonable assumption. Right? We said before, we got started this morning, that the Mila even has two Birkas HaMitzvahs. Right? So most brachas, most mitzvahs that have a bracha, have one Birkas HaMitzvah. So we would have assumed that Birkas HaTorah actually also has multiple brachas, but we say that we stack them together. So we would have, the Gra was assuming it's a Birkas HaMitzvah. Okay. So if the Birkas HaMitzvah, there should be a bracha whenever there's a mitzvah, even Behirur. And on the other hand, if it's a Birkas HaMitzvah, so then according to the Sephardic position, the Rambam, the Mechaber, the bracha, they were only misakin the bracha, when it's a personal mitzvah, personal chiyuv for me, not merely a chiyuv for Klal Yisrael more generally. But what the way these achronim understand Reb Chaim, he's saying that was the position of the Gra, that Birkas HaTorah fits in the category of Birkas HaMitzvah. But the Mechaber apparently understood it's not a Birkas HaMitzvah. A bracha on the Chetzer Torah, meaning a bracha on the Chetzer Shal Torah. When you hear lightning, that's called hearing thunder, right? When you see lightning, that's called seeing lightning. Right? When you see lightning, you hear thunder, you see the Alps, you see the Grand Canyon, you see the ocean, you make a bracha. Osama Sebracious, Shekachu Grosam Ole Olam, you know, as appropriate. What type of bracha is that? The bracha, the mitzvah of hearing thunder? No, it's not Birkas HaMitzvah. Birkas HaVahoda. What's Pshat Birkas HaVahoda? You encounter the majesty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the physical cosmos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created something so extraordinary. So I encounter Ribono Shalom. I have to respond to that experience with a bracha. Not Birkas HaMitzvah. The Birkas HaVahoda. So Reb Chaim understood that according to the Mechaber, Birkas HaTorah also, not a Birkas HaMitzvah on the mitzvah of Limud HaTorah. It's instead you're encountering a spiritual wonder of the world. You're encountering that Kadosh Baruch Hu through his spiritual creation. And I make a bracha when I see the Grand Canyon, all the more so I should make a bracha when I encounter Torah. I meet that Kadosh Baruch Hu in the context of, I rendezvous with God through his Torah. Unbelievable. That calls for a Birkas Shevach Vahoda. Similar, Derech Mashal, and there is a machlokas, but there's a different, another bracha where also it's Asher Kiddushom Sovet Sivanu, and yet it might not be a Birkas HaMitzvah, is the bracha that you say on Kiddushin, on Erisin. Gemara Ksubas Daf Zayin tells us that in conjunction with Kiddushin, you say the Birkas Erisin. Our practice has been for many centuries, you have the Rav, the Masada Kiddushin says that bracha, Asher Kiddushom Sovet Sivanu HaRais Aslan Sarusos, and the bracha that the Masada Kiddushin says before the Chasin actually marries the Kal. So what type of bracha is that? So it's Asher Kishon Sosa V'Tzivanu, sounds like a Birkas HaMitzvah. On the other hand, there's a lot of parts to it. It talks about Yisurim, and doesn't sound like a typical Birkas HaMitzvah. So the Rambam is of the opinion that getting married is in and of itself a mitzvah, aside from having a family. Getting married is itself a mitzvah, say. The Rambam writes, and therefore, you make a bracha on the mitzvah of Kiddushin, and that's this bracha, the Birkas Erusin. The Rosh, in the first parak of Ksubas, Daf Simi Yud Beis, says he doesn't think that getting married is in and of itself a mitzvah. For most people, getting married is a halachic desideratum. For most people, getting married is halachically encouraged. It will lead to all sorts of mitzvahs in the future. A person who has the capacity to get married, to happily, healthily get married and have a family. So getting married is the first step towards all sorts of other mitzvahs. But the Rosh says he doesn't think that getting married in of itself is a mitzvah. So Rosh says, and therefore, I don't think that the Birkas Eris in the Gemara mentioned Dav Zayin Subas, I don't think it's a Birkas HaMitzvah. There is no mitzvah. It's encouraged. It will lead to mitzvahs. It leads to all sorts of goodness down the road. But the act of marriage is not in of itself a mitzvah. The Rosh says, and anyways, he says, this bracha sounds a little interesting. It doesn't sound like a typical. You're a Birkas HaMitzvah. You name the mitzvah. Here, the whole paragraph, Aslan Sarusos, Hitlan Sarusos, Lano, says, no, the Rosh says, that's a Birkas Shavodah. Meaning, when you encounter the glory, or the beauty, the spiritual beauty of Jewish marriage, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the opportunity to take a phenomenon which we share with all of humanity, as a matter of fact, a phenomenon which we share fundamentally with the entire animal kingdom, and take it and transform it from something mundane into something, a vehicle for such beauty and Kedusha. So the Rosh says, you got to say Birkas Shavodah. That's extraordinary. Jewish marriage. Wow. Birkas Shavodah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what a gift. That you gave us the opportunity to elevate Olam HaZeh. Neither to give ourselves up to Olam HaZeh, nor to run away from Olam HaZeh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the opportunity to take Olam HaZeh and transform it and elevate, uplift it. Wow. Wow. Birkas Shavodah. That's what the Rosh says. The Rambam says, no, it's a Birkas HaMitzvah. So a similar type of machlok is here. It happens to be, by the way, also, even on a technical level, the nusach of the bracha is also sort of this in-between. Asher kishon sotzev etzivanu. Sounds like a Birkas HaMitzvah. But then, even lasok with the ritual, lasok is an interesting verb. And then we keep going, baharavna, which may or may not be separate bracha, machlok is rishonim. And then you have the asher bachar banu. This is not your classical Birkas HaMitzvah. On the other hand, it starts... So it's sort of a similar textual paradox to Birkas Eirusin. It starts Asher Kidishan Mitzvot Tzivanu, which the poskim often use a Rosh Tevis, Akbu, Aleph Kuf Beis Vav, Asher Kidishan Mitzvot Tzivanu. It starts that way, but then it gets very poetic. So Reb Chaim suggested, and this is how Sefer HaChorim understand where Reb Chaim is driving at, here too, just like in Machlokas, Rambam and Rosh, whether Birkas Eirusin is Birkas HaMitzvah or Birkas HaVodah, not Tali HaBaha, but just by analogy, in Machlokas Gra and Shulchan Aruch, whether Birkas HaTorah is a Birkas HaMitzvah or Birkas HaVodah. The Gra says a Birkas HaMitzvah. That's what the Gra said. It should, Ashkenazim and Sfardim ought to differ on whether a woman who's volunteering to learn says a Birkas Torah or not. It's governed by the same rules as all the other Birkas HaMitzvahs on the Shofar Sukkah Luluf. And the Gra says, on the other hand, Mahara B'divrei Torah, of course you make a bracha. You'd be Mekai the Mitzvah. Why wouldn't you make a bracha? Well, the Shulchan Aruch, we don't hear him responding. At least not directly. But Reb Chaim suggested, Shulchan Aruch would say, the Gra's kashas are built on a foundation that I don't accept. He's starting with a premise that it's a Birkas HaMitzvah. I agree. If it were a Birkas HaMitzvah, then the Shulchan Aruch would never have said that women are to say a Birkas HaTorah. If it were a Birkas HaMitzvah, Shulchan Aruch never would have said that Mahar B'Divrei Torah is Pater from Brah. Yeah, but Shulchan Aruch would say, but I don't think it's a Birkas HaMitzvah. It's a Birkas HaVodah. On the one hand, Nashim Baruch Hu is Birkas HaTorah. What does it matter whether she's Mechuyavim or not? None of us are Mechuyavim to hear thunder. None of us are Mechuyavim to see the Alps. The comment of Rav Shimshon Fol Hirsch notwithstanding, that famous line, Kadosh Baruch Hu come to Shammayim, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to say, hey, what about my Alps? Why didn't you ever see my Alps? Based on Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says that person Asa Litzin Zadin, if there are foods, kosher pleasures you could have enjoyed, and Kadosh Baruch Hu gives to us, and you chose not to enjoy them, the person is Asa Litzin Zadin. Got to figure out what that means. Doesn't mean that you're mechuyav to indulge in every luxury possible. But it does mean that a person does have to carve out some space and some time and some money over the course of a lifetime to appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. That's what Reverse said. Forget about fancy foods. How about the natural beauty? Reverse didn't spend most of his life at the Alps. But most of life teaching Torah and learning Torah and inspiring people. But a part of the menu, a part of the spiritual diet was a trip to the Alps. Appreciating the beauty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's physical bria needs to be a part of one's avos Hashem as well. But that notwithstanding, again, I'm not mechuyev to see that particular ocean, but if I do, I make a bracha. I'm not mechuyev to see the lightning, but if I do, I make a bracha. Bir Sheva does nothing to do with whether it's a chiyuv or not. That's what the Mechaber would say. A woman is not mechuyev as Talmud Torah, but if she plans to rendezvous with HaKadosh Baruch Hu via Torah, she plans to encounter the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the context of Limud Torah, so then she has to make a bracha. And what do you say about on the other hand? What do you say about Mahar B'divrei Torah? What was the Gra's Kasha? Mitzvah! It says, oh, there's no mitzvah when you're Mahar B'divrei Torah. The Hagdar of the mitzvah of Yeshua is thinking. It is internal. Vagisa Yom V'layla. And it says, yeah, Avad, it's internal. But it's not the same degree. You're kind of mitzvah Talmud Torah. But if you don't think it's a Birkas HaMitzvah, if instead it's the Birkas HaMitzvah of Odot, I'm encountering HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Talmud Torah. We need to think about this more, and we will, as we're going to continue to think about this in the Beis Medrash in a couple of moments, and we'll continue in Shir Mitzvah, Seder and Shir tomorrow. But so you have to figure, that's one piece that needs to be figured out. But at least as a first approximation, as a first draft, it could be that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is the same mitzvah whether I speak or I think. Well, whether I speak and think, or just think. You speak without thinking, that's a bad idea in a lot of levels. But regardless of whether I think and speak, think and write, versus merely think, same mitzvah Talmud Torah, but perhaps it's not the same degree of experience. In terms of the encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not the same, but this mashal ma'adavar dome, it's not a perfect analogy. But there's a world of difference between going to see the Alps versus seeing the Alps on Google Earth. Right? See the Alps on Google Earth, nice, it's impressive, pretty cool. To see the Northern Lights, I would love, personally, to see the Northern Lights. Never been zocher. I've thought in the past, there was that Icelandic airline right before COVID hit that was starting to run, what's it called? They're starting to run flights to Eretz Yisrael. So it occurred to me that you could both save money and see the flow of Sabore if you time your flight right to be able to see the Northern Lights. I would love to see the Northern Lights. I've seen pictures of it. You can see videos of it if you want. But from what I'm told, for people who have been zochet to see it, it's intuitively obvious. It doesn't compare. Seeing pictures is very cute. Seeing the real thing, that's extraordinary. You don't make a Birkas Haria, a Birkas Shavu Oda, on seeing pictures of the Alps, and seeing pictures of Northern Lights, seeing pictures of the ocean. No! When you actually see it, B'mo Einayim, that's the full dose of the experience.
Without virtual reality.
So, interesting. L'chor also not. And maybe that's even a better analogy. So Huadinami, it's not a perfect analogy, but at least it's a little bit of a mashal. Now, obviously, learning Torah Behirhur is much more than seeing a picture of something. But still, it's apparently not the fullness of the experience. If it's just my brain, my body is not involved, I'm not fully, it's not the same degree of encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not the same richness of experience as when it's multimodal. It's not just in my brain, but also I'm speaking, I'm hearing, I'm writing. When it's b'machshava u'b'maisa, it sounds like it's more of a chefter shel Torah. What does that mean? Probably means something along these lines. That's right. That in terms of, is it a mitzvah of Talmud Torah? Yes. Are you encountering ideas of Talmud Torah? Yes. But are you encountering HaKadosh, are you experiencing Ribono Shel Olam to the same extent? Maybe less so. Maybe the experience of rendezvousing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not as complete when it's only mental and it's not both mental and physical. So Lakula and Lachumra, the Mechaber says it's not Birkas HaMitzvah. Lakula and Lachumra, the Gra says it is a Birkas HaMitzvah. So what do we have so far? And then we'll head to the Beis HaMedrash. So we saw two. We had opened with a Machlokas Rambam about whether Birkas HaTorah is a mitzvah or not. It seems like it more broadly it's a Machlokas whether Birkas HaTorah is Daraisa or not, which is incredibly difficult because you have both a Bavi and Yerushalmi that say that Birkas HaTorah is a mitzvah Daraisa based on Pasuk and Chumash. How does the Rambam just ignore all of that? And the Rambam doesn't even see it as a chiluk of Talmud Torah, except as a prat in the Dinim Drabbanan of Birkas HaShachar. Mysterious. So we've begun to explore the Pirtei Halacha of Birkas HaTorah. So far we looked at two pratim, and there are more to come. So far we looked at one issue of Talmud Torah Behirur, does it require bracha or not? And number two, if I'm volunteering Talmud Torah, namely a woman who's not mechuyeves to learn every day, but chooses to, every day or someday, one day she chooses to learn. So whenever she sits down to learn, a beautiful thing to do, does she... this morning, the baby who was Nemo this morning was named for Nachum and Yeshaya. His name is Nachum Yeshaya. So the father points out and talks about the name, that those are two Nevi'im, one is far more famous than the other. Via Haftaras, we're all familiar with some of Yeshayahu. Nachum is it's more of a specialty. So whether she's sitting down to learn Yeshaya or Nachum, or wherever else she's sitting down to learn, does she say a bracha or not? Also, Machlokas, Mechaber, and Grah. And so far, we saw in those first two details, is that it seems like they're both nafkaminas in this core hakira, whether Birkas HaTorah is a bracha in the mitzvah of learning, or Birkas HaTorah on the experience, the encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we experience through learning. Two different aspects of Talmud Torah, two different categories of bracha that this bracha might fit into, similar to the machlokas of Birkas Erezin. And so far, two nafkaminas are Hirhur and Noshim. There are...